Hi, good morning. Todd Zwillick here in Washington, D.C., filling in for John Hockenberry this morning. We want to go right down to the Gulf Coast where BP has constructed that giant 100-ton steel dome to try to, if they can, cap the oil spilling into the Gulf. Let's go right to Dave Cohen, news director with WWL Radio in New Orleans. Dave, about 8 p.m. last night, the giant dome set off from Port Fourchon, headed for the collapsed oil rig. What's the latest there?
Well, it's supposed to take 12 hours to get to the site of the sunken rig, and then they're going to deploy this thing, drop it into the water, and carefully and very slowly maneuver it almost a mile down to the floor of the Gulf of Mexico to try and cover up one of these leaking sites. They say it's going to take 2 days before they actually set it down on the leak, secure it in place, and see if it will work, this four-story tall 100-ton tube to collect the oil that's leaking inside of this concrete and metal structure, funnel it to the top, and then pipe it a mile up to barges on the surface.
And you can imagine that the whole world will be watching, probably from helicopters, watching and waiting. Dave Cohen from WWL Radio, we know you got to go. Thanks for joining us with an update on lowering this gigantic dome down onto the Deepwater Horizon leak in the middle of the Gulf. Celeste, it's amazing how much seems to be riding on this. If they can stop this leak, we mentioned before the fishermen, people in the tourism industry, people in the oil industry themselves, if this leak gets any worse, probably going to have major repercussions for offshore drilling. It seems like everyone is sitting on the edges of their seats here.
Well, right. Well, the BP executives have already said that it's very possible that this leak could get 10 to 12 times worse than it was when it began. This process of putting the dome down was actually used in Ixtoc, but not at this depth.
Right. And there are actually three domes being constructed. And I think the overall deal here is put the steel dome on top of the leak, try to stop it, but that's not the end of the story. They still have to drill what's called the relief well, maybe a kilometer away or less, but that takes 90 days, 3 months. So the point now is to try to stop the oil as best they can. And meanwhile, cleanup efforts or mitigation efforts go on the surface. And we have now with us Jim Meggs of Popular Mechanics. He's an expert, and his magazine's been looking at the technology behind oil cleanup. So we want to ask him about cleanup on the surface. But first, Jim Meggs, I want to ask you about the idea of the dome. Does this thing, it takes 2 days to be lowered down to the bottom of the sea, David Cohen told us. Does this thing need to seal to the bottom of the sea and create kind of a tight seal? How does it work?
No, it really doesn't need to create a watertight seal on the bottom. What this is, it's a type of caisson, and it's actually a very old technology. They use something kind of like this to build the Brooklyn Bridge. If you imagine a sink full of water and you took a coffee cup and you turn it upside down and you put it down, that the air is going to stay in that coffee cup. And they've used that technology for a long time to put work crews on the bottom of bodies of water. And that's what this thing was originally designed for. And as I understand it, they're actually retrofitting a couple of these caissons or cofferdams that they had used earlier to repair some wells after Katrina. Now they're changing the purpose of it. They're going to allow it to fill with water, and they're going to put a pipe out of the top of it. And they lower this thing down. It looks like a big, tall house. In fact, a commenter on one oil industry website I looked at said it looked like an Alabama outhouse.
It does, yeah. Painted white, yeah.
It's surprisingly low-tech, don't you think?
It does. It for what it is, it looks crude.
Yes, exactly. But it doesn't need to be that sophisticated to do the job. The tricky part is getting it into position. And if you imagine you're on top of a five-story building and you're lowering a device about the size of a match head 50 feet down, and you want to position it precisely over a pipe the width roughly of a human hair. That's more or less what they have to do from this ship.
So
now they're going to
have
help from these remotely operated vehicles, these robot subs that they have down on the sea floor to nudge it into position. But all they have to do is get it to straddle the pipe, and then as the oil mixed with natural gas comes surging out of the broken pipe, it'll collect in this Alabama outhouse, and then there's a pipe out the top, and the oil will, buoyant, will flow up the pipe. The good news here, as we all know, is oil and water don't mix. So as long
as it rises. The oil rises.
Exactly. So as long as they can get this thing positioned over the pipe, I think we have a good chance for the oil to largely stay in the structure and move up the pipe. And it's going to sit down firmly in the mud, so it might be partially sealed, but it doesn't need to be completely sealed to work.
Right, because the oil rises. Well, let's, for the last couple minutes we have, Jim, let's go to the surface, because so many hundreds of thousands of gallons, millions of gallons have already leaked. So cleaning it up on the surface, we have seen booms out. We have seen vacuums sucking the oil off the surface of the water. We've seen reports of people cutting their own hair to be donated and stuffed into pantyhose because hair absorbs oil. Can that work, or is that just sort of public participation effort?
A bit of both. It's sort of like, you know, blood drives after a major disaster. It's a helpful thing for people to do. Most of the mitigation technology you see is really designed for fairly small scale leaks in, you know, enclosed bodies of water and marshes and stuff. So if, you know, they could get enough hair in certain areas, it would have a modest beneficial effect, but you'd need millions and millions of of hair to get it
done. On the practical level, Jim, what's working best right now? Is it a combination of things, or is it the cordoning off the oil with the booms? What's working best right now?
Nothing's going to work very well in the open ocean, sadly, but they are starting some controlled burns today. Those are probably the most promising, but the sad reality is there's really no way to clean up a major spill on the open ocean even today.
Is there any hope, Jim Meggs, for bioengineered bacteria? I had read and written, in fact, in the past about genetically engineered bacteria that are programmed to eat petroleum. Why not use those?
Well, people have been looking at that for a long time. At the same time, releasing an exotic bioengineered organism into the environment is something that I think all of us would agree would need to be studied extremely carefully.
So in that case, you might be talking about trading one environmental disaster for another if you use that. Well, Jim Meggs is with Popular Mechanics, the magazine, and has joined us to give an excellent description of what it takes to lower a 100-ton, four-story-high steel structure down on top of this oil leak, like lowering a match head onto something the width of a human hair. If that doesn't put it in perspective for you, I don't know what does. Mitigation efforts, meanwhile, continuing on the surface down at the Deepwater Horizon spill off the coast of Louisiana as everyone there waits expectantly for a solution.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.